Hit me, man. Yes, Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And tonight, if you can see us, you know, if you happen to be watching, normally we're audio podcast, but we also record video and put it out there sometimes on YouTube. So tonight, if you look, I got all this equipment in here tonight. And I was working on a remix for our theme music. I wanted to make it a little more urban.
The hell that mean? The hell that mean?
But anyway, you know, I was playing around with it. And you can't see that, but we'll put that up for you later. And we're going to remix this thing because we got to progress.
Yes.
Right. It used to be this way and then turn to this, which leads me to tonight's topic. Progression. It's something that DL brought to my attention earlier. He said, you know what, man? Just about everything tough and bad that has infiltrated hip-hop started off as something we didn't pay attention to. And ballooned into this thing that is now its most extreme form.
Absolutely.
And out of the millions of things that we have discussed, we have not gotten into that.
Right. So we talked about it all.
Yeah. Yep.
Some point.
Yep. And I think the first example, really, I think I'm going to take credit here for a second. Was
say it with your chest out.
We watched this thing progress to a point where it couldn't progress anymore. Got to its most extreme form. And that was Ho Rap. So we're going to start there. Ho Rap.
Okay.
I'm going to be more politically correct. Raunchy rap coming from a female perspective.
Okay.
Where did that start? When did that infiltrate hip hop? I would argue that you had to be at a live event to hear any artist get raunchy. And women would do it too. Like, even go back as far as Chaka Khan and all these people. Of course, Millie Jackson, she was hella raunchy on record.
Hell yeah.
But she was raunchier at the show.
Right.
And Roxanne Shanté would get pretty raunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Not raunchy on record.
Mm-hmm.
Not raunchy in appearance.
Right.
But if you showed up at a live show, you got a version of her that you wouldn't get anywhere else. And I would argue that that could be raunchy from time to time. But that was about as bad as it was going to get.
You know, something I thought about that we talked about in an earlier episode was fatherless artists, the females, and their whole music.
Well, back then, you had a lot of daddies around.
Yeah, but telling her story, her dad wasn't around, but her mom.
Oh, so she was one that didn't have a dad around.
Right, that's the crazy part. Maybe she didn't put it on record because she knew her mom would hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And her mom wasn't going for it.
She wasn't going for it.
Somebody, that figure was there.
Well, back then, if you wanted raunchy, you had to get it on stage. Mm-hmm. First time I heard it on Wax, it's something that made me say, oh my God, I can't believe they said that.
Right.
BWP, a girl group, Bitches with Problems. That's what it stood for. They had a song called 2 Minute Brother. And man, they were raunchy as hell.
Right.
I was like, good gracious. But that was on Wax. So you went from the progression here is get raunchy on stage to get raunchy on Wax. Around 1990-91.
Okay.
To Lil' Kim, get raunchy on Wax, say something raunchy on stage, and give you a raunchy photo to go with it.
Oh, legendary.
You never had a raunchy photo.
Right. She went from raunchy to
think home. About this. There has not been a girl rapping in the game yet with an ass whole bigger music than Yo-Yo's.
Oh, yeah.
And you ain't never showed never it. Seen it.
Never seen it. You got to look.
Who knows? The brat might have been toting a wagon
she,
bigger than
she
you.
Was. She was.
Right? But you,
she was.
But you never knew.
Right.
You never knew.
You know how I knew?
So the first time we even seen a rap chick with no clothes on.
Yes. Damn, that's a good
was
one.
Was Lil' Kim.
Right.
You that's, never seen a rap chick with no clothes on.
You can't call her Lil' Kim raunchy. She introduced whole music.
Hey, but
that's the progression.
But that pose that she struck for that promotional run,
right?
Doing the squat with the bathing suit on. That had, like, at the time, you never seen that before. And and when she did it, it didn't cause everybody to do it at the time.
Right.
But now, everybody does it. Like, who hasn't done it? Lotto got one.
Yeah.
Gorilla got one.
Right.
Megan Thee Stallion got one. Cardi B got 10. Cardi B put one on Instagram yesterday.
For real?
No, I'm just messing. I don't know. Cardi B got one pregnant. What you talking about?
She might.
Exactly.
She might, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You and back when Lil' Kim did it, he was like, oh my God, oh my God. But now it's normal. You're used to it. That's what we're talking about with the progression. So now we have established the baseline here, okay?
And
it went from, oh my God, to who cares? Everybody does that.
Everybody does it. Yeah.
Right.
Even the porn thing. Because back in the day, it was supposed to be a Lil' Kim porn. And now you look up and say, it's a red porn. You better at work.
You don't even care.
No, but you better not be at work.
With sexy red porn, we got to a point where sexy red porn came out. Who even cared? Nobody even cared. It did nothing. It didn't enhance or hurt her career.
You're right.
It was nothing. Who gives a damn?
You're right.
Did you expect anything less? From a girl who put out a makeup line with flavors like gonorrhea, green, and...
She did.
Yeah.
For real.
Lipsticks, right. Yeah, lipsticks. Her lipstick-flavored lipstick line had stuff like gonorrhea, yellow, and
really?
Yes. Look it up, I promise.
Oh, wow.
I promise. So that's what I'm saying. That got as bad as it was going to get. We did the whole... We did filth.
She did a parody, man.
We did filth from beginning to end. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
From Lil' Kim to Sexy Red, it doesn't get any worse.
Yeah.
What is worse? Somebody just pull out a bed on stage and let somebody come out of the audience and hit while they rap.
That's
the only thing that, but it's not, you know that's not going to happen. We've already gotten to the worst of it. You know what I'm saying?
I thought the worst would have been the openly gay guy. But that was before Sexy Red because it was a song called Boy Is.
Ooh, you brought a point. Now, that's something something that has not run a course yet.
Lil Nas X?
No. No, he's just one dude. Like, and y'all going to notice in every one of these situations, when we talk about something progressing from beginning to end, there's always the one person that's years before. We just talked about Lil' Kim. She's years before Trina even.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It takes time. Lil Nas X is the beginning of something we haven't seen yet.
You know what?
That story has yet to be written.
But I think that the artist that would be creative enough, and not to take away from what Tyler the Creator do, but when I think about hip hop, like Tyler Creator could rap, but I think he makes other music. He just rap on the other beats, kind of like Lil Uzi Vert, kind of like Lil Nas X.
Well, I started listening to Tyler Creator back in the day. He's a rapper, man. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, but
you know, now he's an artist.
That's what I'm saying.
He started as a rapper, so you know.
I'm gonna leave it alone.
I mean,
it didn't start with Lil Nas X, is what I'm trying to say.
No, it didn't start with him, but Lil Nas X is the person who
took it to the extreme.
He pushed the boundaries farther.
Yeah.
Because what happens before, you're not even used to a gay rapper. So, but you get used to, you started getting used to Young Thug and Lil Uzi Vert pushing those lines a little bit with the way they dress. And then you got to get used to Lil Nas X doing what he do. But it hasn't gotten to that point where there's a flood. Everything else that we're going to talk about tonight that has progressed into the floodgates.
To the masses.
Opening.
Right.
And the floodgates for gay rappers has not opened yet.
I'll give you that. Yeah.
You know what I mean? But we're seeing the same things that we've seen in every other trend in hip hop.
Uh-huh.
It's on that path.
Right.
Give it time.
Give it time.
Give it time. You wait. It'll be just like our next subject.
Hmm.
gangbanging in hip hop.
Like it.
Something that the first time that you, you know, you started even getting gangbanging references from Ice-T and Too Short, and you're like, but they're not.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month, no commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Bang bangers, but they're telling us about the West Coast. And you're hearing these stories, and NWA is telling you these stories, and then here comes Snoop. Wait a minute, he's actually in the game?
He's a real Crip.
Yeah, but he seems so friendly. But I wanna smoke a blunt with Crip. I wanna smoke a blunt with this dude.
Yes.
Are the Crips cool?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Think about it.
Maybe I would be a Crip.
Think about what the message that it sends.
Absolutely.
Snoop is cool as hell.
Yeah.
Are the Crips cool as hell? Because he represents that.
Right.
So
when did we get the first blood?
Immediately after the first Crip, probably was it DJ? Was DJ Quick Blood? I don't know. I don't know who's what gang. I honestly don't.
We just know because Snoop made it cool.
Yeah, but after that, there were a lot of West Coast artists,
right?
That were in gangs, and you know, seemed pretty cool.
Uh huh.
And it made you realize, like, hey. But I think that shined a positive light on gang activity that helped the whole thing spread a little bit faster, which brought us to gang life version 2.0.
Dipset?
Right. And all of the, like we saw, you know, version 1.0 of the gang culture infiltrating hip-hop was the West Coast and the West Coast perspective. But once that lifestyle and that music hit the rest of the country and planted those seeds,
right?
A few years later, we got the product of those seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you said, Jim Jones and all these cats. You got Bloods in New York. You hadn't really heard or thought about that before.
Right.
But now it's there.
Gang culture on the East Coast like that. Yeah.
Right. An offshoot of what started on the West Coast.
And we gotta give Jim Jones his props too, because he might be the oldest gang member. I'm sorry, that oldest active. I mean,
I don't speak on nothing gang related.
Me either.
So that's
I'm a civilian.
That's all I have to say about that.
I'm a civilian. Look, I see this.
But we in version, but that was years ago. We in version
3.0
of gang culture and hip hop right now. And this is at its most extreme point where everything is a gang.
Yeah.
You just got Young Thug.
Gang.
Young Thug is just his rap crew is a gang now.
Absolutely. And it's crazy that dude wear a dress is leading a gang. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't trying to be funny, but it's facts.
Hey.
Yeah.
Like, as you always say, allegedly. Allegedly.
You know?
But that's something we've seen progress from, you know, the early days, we're just hearing about it, then turn to we get an active gang member rapping, and then now everybody's a gang, the whole crew is a gang, they tying people up, killing folks. Like, what is going on? Shooting other people who rapping.
That's what I was going to say.
Gangs on the other side of town.
It go to further.
It's definitely at its most extreme.
Yeah,
that
man.
Has progressed to its most extreme point.
In the manner that these guys are getting killed, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, what about, speaking of gang violence, the violence part is something, in the beginning, of course, no violence, nobody's rapping about violence in hip-hop.
Uh-huh.
But, of course, the imagery was there before the words, I think, because we went back and watched Wild Style.
Absolutely.
And
Double Trouble
came on stage. Looking like two gangsters with Tommy guns.
Yes.
Well, no, one had the Tommy gun, the other had the two pistols. So, you know, that's violent imagery. because that implies that violence will happen to you if you step to these dudes the wrong way. So
right.
just holding two guns, three guns.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys, three guns.
Right.
And that's 1982.
Right.
So we got violent imagery from day one. You know, we seen it on album covers, Scott LaRock, KRS-One, guns.
Mm-hmm.
You look real close on Public Enemy, the first 12-inch single. Golly.
But here.
But they got dudes all right. on the Oldsmobile 98s. They got pistols out.
That so was militant.
The imagery has been there, but in the words, as far as on the East Coast, traditional New York, Schoolie D said some pretty gang-bangy type stuff back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And KRS was violent in his, you know.
Right.
A lot of his stuff was pretty violent. My introduction to violence in music was probably KRS-One.
And if you listen to his name, he sounds like a gangbanger today.
KRS-One. That sounds like
three letters in the beginning of his name.
Hey, well, think about it. Hey, all I'm saying is, it's as odd as it sounds, the father of violence in hip hop
mm-hmm.
could possibly be KRS-One.
Damn. You said that. I didn't say it.
And.
Right. He introduced it.
And that crew, Boogie Down Productions.
The first killing.
The first murder in hip hop.
Right.
That really shook the community.
Damn.
And that goes the beginning, which progressed us all the way through Biggie, Tupac. Now you remember how we said, I want y'all to listen to this repeated pattern here. It goes, one thing happens, everybody goes, oh my God. It doesn't happen every day overnight.
Uh-huh.
It's a few years later, it happens again, and it happens. It's a little burst.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the whole music, you get a little bit of raunchy, you get your little Kim. But a few years later, you get Trina, and it ain't just Trina. You get Jackie O and Kaya, and she got my neck and my back and all of that shit, too.
I heard that on the commercial the other day.
But what I'm saying is that was just a little pocket. And then you get the explosion. So with the violence,
right?
You get your KRS, then you get your NWA and all of these people.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Taking it even farther. It was a whole bunch of gang banging West Coast, but it slowed down for a second.
Right.
And then it exploded into what we have now, where every song is either about drugs or killing you some kind of way. Or making sure that your girl gets sloppy toppy to me.
Right.
Your Thank girl. You. It's never my girl. It's always your girl.
Thanks, Arcanelli.
You know what I'm saying? Now you got to remember that part.
Thanks, Arcanelli. But what I was going to say, you know, it was crews back in the day.
Right.
But, a crew or nothing but a gang.
But that's the progression.
Yeah.
The progression of violence. And now we went from talking about it to somebody in the dude who start talking about it first, listen to my 9mm go bang. Then his DJ and beat maker is killed first, and here we are years later. That takes us to the pinnacle, King Von, Stone Cold Killer, writing raps, making songs.
Yeah,
you know he is a young like. Imagine KRS-One doesn't get mentorship, proper mentorship. It could easily have been King Von.
Damn.
Out here on these streets, were it not for Scott LaRock or somebody else, lead him in the right way.
So all this time, he been trying to get back right.
But what I'm saying
is,
he been trying to right a wrong because he was headed in the wrong path, and he helped plant the seeds that led us to King Von today. So KRS owes a huge debt to hip-hop right now.
KRS-One owes us a conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying.
He owes us a conversation because ain't nobody else going to say that shit. You need to come talk to us, man. Hey. Nobody else going to say that shit.
I'm not, you know.
What's going on here.
I don't want to cause no problem,
You know what I'm saying? You owe us a conversation, man.
We talked about raunchy women. Let's talk about raunchy dudes, all right? Ew. Now, we started way back. Look, back in the day, nobody was doing all this cussing stuff except for one dude named Blowfly. He was a novelty act.
Okay.
He had a song called, I remember one of his hooks, "That's When You Find Out What Your Pussy Was Made For." That's the kind of music he was making. It was almost liquor house rap.
Right.
But this is the late 70s, early 80s, 79, 80, 81. Uh-huh. You know, Bill was out there with everybody else. But he was from Florida, wasn't from New York. Raunchy, next level, Blowfly, okay?
Okay.
That's your one.
Uh-huh.
Then you get Two Live Crew.
Ooh, so, honey, she was an artist.
Who?
So, honey, me love you long time. She was an artist.
What you talking about?
On the track.
The girl on the track?
Yes.
Who was it?
She was an artist.
Who was it?
I don't know her name. She put out a track.
Really?
See, that's how rumors get started. You know what I'm saying?
Man, we had to erase that. But nah, but look, you got, okay, then Two Live Crew, they would have started something, but the federal government
shut
gave
them
so much trouble
right.
about saying what they said. But they beat the case.
Uh-huh.
It took a few years later.
That's what
everybody else started getting a little bit raunchy.
But they didn't put out music while they was going through the case, right?
Yeah, they did.
They still put out music?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. They were testing the boundaries the whole time.
Okay.
But dudes got raunchier and raunchier. But people who did that kind of music were kind of like a novelty. That wasn't the main thing.
Right.
It was a thing. Uh-huh. And, you know, it's like you hit it, and it always seemed to stay mostly raunchy.
Right.
Stayed in the South.
Uh-huh.
And Florida.
Until
I can yell at him. Whew. He was now he was the New York king of raunchy.
Salute him.
Hey, salute
him. Don't act like that.
I can yell it, man.
Salute him.
He changed. I can yell it changed everything.
Thank you, man.
And
thank you, man.
Yeah, he changed the culture.
I don't think he get the props.
He changed
deserved,
the culture.
Man.
Put it in your mouth, changed the culture.
I'm telling you, man.
Changed
for
the
real.
Whole culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody who's lived through this. And was active before and active after knows the difference in before and after. You know, it's crazy what music will do.
Thank you.
But today, now you listen to people like, take an NLE Chopper, for example.
Uh-huh.
Luke Skywalker would blush. And we talking about now, we talking about every level of raunchy. It's on stage, to Kevin Gates, a spit in your mouth. As you go to his show.
Hold on, now you can't forget Plies.
You talking about raunchy?
Plies gave us Becky.
Oh my goodness, right? But that's all in the progress.
Yeah.
And right now, once Kevin Gates spitting that babe mouth on stage, raunchy have reached its absolute extreme pinnacle. There's
nothing after that. Yeah.
There's nothing after that.
Right. He can't even top it.
Right. It started with Blowfly. It went through Luke Skywalker. And it ended with Kevin Gates on stage.
Right.
Ugh, in your mouth.
What do you think? I probably shouldn't even ask that. Never mind. What was worse, the R. Kelly tape or Kevin Gates doing that?
Oh, R. Kelly all day. That was a grown woman. She wanted that. She sat there and took it. but ain't no little girl, you know, I can't blame a little girl for what's happening to her. The adult in the room need to be there going directing what's going on. She don't make the decision. That grown woman decided to get up on that stage. She bought that ticket. She went up there and opened her mouth. And that
I mean, he spit in her mouth.
That did not need dude. I spit in her mouth.
I was like, oh, my God, man.
Oh, man, moving on. Good gracious. All right. Now, listen, this is one I'm going to throw one out there. This is going to make you think, people. All right? I'm going to start. Instead of starting at the beginning, I'm going to start at the end.
Don't do that.
How you think we ended up with Future?
How we started with Future?
How we ended up with Future and anybody who has ever been accused of mumble rapping. That's something, the mumble rap era where you couldn't understand what people were talking about, it doesn't, like, I'm not accusing Future of making every song where you can't understand it, but for an era, he was one of those people that would have fallen into that category, so I'm using him as an example now. What I'm saying
it seems like most of the people who we classify as mumble rappers that I remember anyway have corrected it.
Right, but that's because it was an era. But what I'm saying is this is the era. What I'm saying is the era is the explosion, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now I'm with this time instead of starting in the beginning with the one. We're gonna get here to the end at the explosion. And we're gonna backtrack.
I don't know, man. It might have started and ended with the mumble.
Started with Silk the Shocker.
No.
Unacceptable. No. Unacceptable. No. Unacceptable. No. Rap started with Silk the Shocker. It was the first time
unacceptable what he said.
Became okay. Acceptable.
Right.
If what he was doing was unacceptable. Had never been accepted before. The only person who had ever released that is your brother who loved you so much.
And you know, he say that shit with his chest out like he did something.
Hey, man. But what happened, Master P.
Yes.
Opened the door.
Absolutely.
For unacceptable levels.
Of everything.
Of everything.
Everything associated with
you
no
know
limit.
What I'm saying?
Yes, everything.
There used to be a standard.
Right.
And Master P, he said, hold my beer. Is that kid? This is the standard. Master P said, hold my beer. I'm going to find somebody that is going to break every standard. You telling me a beat got to be like this and got to be engineered like this? Well, hold my beer. I'm going to present to you this.
Do you think
you telling me a dude got to rap on beat got to be like this? Well, hold my beer because here comes Silk the Shocker. And ever since then,
do you think dudes, he had a lot of yes men around him?
Hey, but what I'm saying is,
I know what you're saying.
And after the SoundCloud era, you didn't have to be polished anymore. And yeah. Master P was the first person to allow unpolished people,
right,
to reach the finish line. Like before, if you wanted to, like, you know, it's a marathon in music.
Absolutely.
You're unpolished. Everybody's unpolished when they start.
Right.
But you don't get to the finish line unpolished. And Master P had unpolished dudes selling a million records on unpolished
easy
beats.
And everything.
Unpolished engineering skills. Like, sometimes you can hear the dude rap good. Sometimes you can't.
What is it? What's the beat group name?
Beats by the pound. They had good beats. They just weren't engineered well.
So they ain't have good beats. What are you talking about? And this nigga be sitting up here on podcast saying it with his chest out like he a pioneer of something. But stop it. Stop it, man. Stop it.
But he wasn't the only one. But I'm going to tell you, the best beat maker out of the whole crew was Young Bleed. And his album, to me, was by far the best. But Master P was the beginning of unacceptable becoming something that could actually be palatable to the general public. Because the general public used to not, if it didn't sound right, they would reject it.
Right.
And something about the Master P area, man, people accepted subpar quality. And I'm not saying bad. Like, I get it. Like, listen, man.
I
come from a time period.
You broke the record in North Carolina.
Listen, man, I come from a time period. I understand being in a dorm room making beats, and all you got is a four-track tape player and a Yamaha keyboard or whatever.
But you know what
shit that's not what's supposed to come out on the CD. This is supposed to be left.
Jay. You're not going to act like you didn't break that masterpiece.
I damn sure did. But I'm going to tell you, though, but the song that I broke, I'm talking about, Bout It, did not sound like when I dropped Bout It. No.
The first
the original,
version.
But I didn't play the original. I'm playing the other one.
Oh.
I represent.
Okay. Well, somebody had went back and mastered
it. The second version is the one I dropped on the radio. The Bout It part one. Bout It two, which was...
Did you know about one?
That had a little bit of spice on it.
Did you know about one when you dropped two?
You know, I actually did not.
Okay.
You know, okay. I did not.
So you didn't do all the devil's work.
If I had known about one, I might have looked at two side-eyed a little bit. You know what I mean?
Right.
All right. Hold up. I got one for you. This happened in R&B too. Girls, raunchy. Raunchier and raunchier. Until our R&B artists trying to be just as raunchy as the rappers.
Who you talking? Bruno.
That's one of them. Or even, okay, let's start with raunchy. Of course, Millie Jackson was raunchy. Liquor House Music was raunchy. Donna Summers did Love You Baby. Everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe she sounds like she's making love.
Right.
Then you get to the 90s. Girls weren't really raunchy, but SWV, they did that song Downtown. You like, ooh.
Okay.
She talking about, you know.
She Escape did My Little Secret.
Yeah, but that wasn't raunchy though. That was typical.
Okay.
But Downtown was borderline raunchy, but chicks weren't too raunchy yet. But I think even Beyonce has gotten, at this point though, she can be pretty raunchy. She compared married. To even an SWV, like you look at R&B today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They haven't exploded yet in full raunchiness yet though.
So they're right there
where the gay rappers are. As far as raunchy female R&B, it's not an explosion of raunchy.
I guess you're talking about describing the act or singing about doing something. Because Summer Walker got the joint out right now.
Summer Walker.
Beyonce did the Lemonade joint, but that was with her husband.
Well, it don't matter if you're talking about, you know, like, you know what raunchy is when you hear it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Tyler. Right now, we're in the era where Tyler's coming on the radio every day.
The water song.
Yeah, Make Me Water. Everybody knows what that means.
I don't know what it means. She talking about watering her garden. I thought she had some vegetables.
She got some vegetables for you, all right?
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying? That's where we are right now. There's no real explosion. So I'm sorry, R&B chicks. Y'all haven't reached the full level of raunchiness yet. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, things, man, everything bad that has crept into hip hop has exploded into something. But when it explodes, it goes away.
Right.
That's the beauty of it though. You know, it's bad and good. It's gonna explode. You can best believe there's gonna be a day. I'm saying it right now. It's gonna be a day. There's gonna be so many gay rappers. Like, man, how come? Man, the last 5 years, every rapper won the Grammys, been gay.
Yeah.
And then it'll, because something's going to happen. It's going to be even worse than Lil Nas sliding down a pole to do a lap dance. It's going to be worse than that.
Right.
You watch.
We talked about game banging, but we didn't talk about the gangster part of it and how the gangsterism has
morphed evolved into
snitches.
Yeah, hey.
In the beginning, that was frowned upon.
In the beginning, dudes wouldn't talk about anything in a song.
Right.
Like, we're talking about progression to going from, we're going to get this started, but I'm just going to say, we're going from dudes being absolutely 100% silent about their street involvement. Because I almost just opened my mouth and started loose lipping stuff, but then I was like, you know what? Ain't nobody really talking about these dudes, so I'm not gonna talk about these dudes.
Okay.
But it's a whole lot of dudes from back in the day that were in the streets,
like
on these old school records, but they didn't ever talk about it.
They never talk about it.
Nobody was going up there talking about the drugs they sold.
Right. Right.
Behind the scenes. Like, right now, we know Jam Master Jay is dead over a drug deal. If you ever in your life heard Run DMC talk about how big their DJ was.
Never.
Now, you never. Can imagine today.
It would have been everywhere.
There would be whole songs about how much dope Jam Master Jay. You know, if Run DMC came out today, they'll be talking about how much dope their DJ sell.
Absolutely.
How he keep popping in the street.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? So so where this thing started in gangsterism is absolute silence.
Yes. Yes.
They there. Yeah. They there.
Right.
But there's silence. You don't mention them. You don't write no song about them. You don't say their name. You know what I'm saying?
So one of the first times I remember it happening, was saying their names and stuff was Bobby Shmurda. And his whole crew went down.
Right.
You know, whole crew went down.
Right. But let's talk and about then, how long it took to get to Bobby Shmurda.
Yeah.
So we start with nothing at all. And, of course, you get your Eazy-E's, your uh-huh. Birdmans, your mm-hmm. real street dudes mm-hmm. infiltrating. They Lost running Boys. The show.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They running the labels.
Right.
Some of them start rapping.
Mm-hmm.
What's next? They running everything. CEOs.
Right.
What you get out of that is Jay-Z and Master P and Birdman.
Right. And Jay Prince's.
Right. But on the flip side, what you get is that code that everybody started with don't exist no more.
Oh, hell no.
And with everybody involved in street culture, like that silence that we talked about in the beginning, you don't get that silence anymore. It's talk about every damn thing too much. Everybody's way too vocal. We got dudes that they broadcasting their beefs. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're just finding out now, 35, 40 years later, dudes in podcasts talking about, yeah, man, you ain't no such got in a fight. They got into a full-fledged fish fight behind right. the scenes at the Source Awards. And you be like, for real? Nah, they don't talk about this stuff.
And how you feel about that?
About the change?
Yeah.
Nah, man, people too open now.
Yes.
You know, that's right. That has exploded.
Yes.
The openness about your feelings.
You like, tell everything.
Man, listen,
everybody
man,
tell everything.
Listen, man, the moment one of these rappers hit another rapper's girl, dude be on Instagram.
Talking
and
he'd
be like, yo, man, forget such, man. He a B-A-N.
Right.
You know, hit my girl.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? He'd be like, right. What, everybody don't need to know that?
Right.
Now, 24 hours later, you got a song out.
All
dissing this
it.
Dude yes. over a girl, and she gonna write a song about it too, cause she a rapper chick. Like yeah. it's too much of that. That ain't gangster. You know what I'm saying? And these be some gangster dudes, like all their business out there all the time.
Right.
Like, you know, somebody gets shot and you might not have shot them, but they be all on social media celebrating. Right. You know, so well
smoking on that.
Right. So, yeah. You know, if you didn't do it, you look like you did it.
Right.
You mighty happy about it. And just all that silence part is over.
Well,
you
I
got
think
an explosion of loud gangsters.
I think that once they were able to monetize it, that's what changed it. And so there's a well-known rapper who just came home. And when he came home, I said, but why are they celebrating this when somebody lost their life? You know what I'm saying? It's like we all, I'm not going to say we, but it seems like people are always celebrating the loss of life. And is to me, that's like
well, that's something else that progress. And
yeah.
we saw
yeah.
that progress in music. I'm going to blame NWA for that.
Okay.
I'm going to blame NWA for that. They trivialized the loss of life in a way that I don't think had been introduced to the hip hop consumer before.
Uh-huh.
Like even with KRS, you know, it was shocking, but it didn't feel trivial. Like when KRS spoke about violence, it felt like it meant something. When NWA spoke about violence, they spoke about it like it was nothing. And
right.
and that was new to the game. Trivialized violence. Like a whole skit where they shot a prostitute. You know, uh-huh. it's like, oh, wait a minute, what the hell?
Yeah.
Man, what's hip-hop about this? You know, like, it's just trivialized violence for nothing.
And if you ask somebody from that time and that environment, they would say because that's what they saw. And you don't know how long they have been going through it before they were able to verbalize it or get it out to the masses to hear.
That speaks to the difference in the West Coast and the East Coast as
Absolutely.
Far as that gang culture. Like, they saw a lot more murder, but that wasn't a good thing for the rest of the world.
No, and, hell no.
And, you know.
I mean, it was so crazy that the gangs had to be formed to protect the people that was out there. Because, you know, the history of gangs, that's how the gangs started, is to protect the people that were out
there.
Oh, Lord,
we ain't going to get no progress.
We ain't going to do that. We ain't going to do that. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a testament of the difference of the environments and stuff.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But, hey, hopefully, though, we can get a progression of some positive stuff going on. Yeah, but positive stuff don't seem to progress the way the negative stuff does.
Well, I think something that was positive was to talk about money.
I'm going to give you an example. Nah, talking about money ain't positive because then you got people wanting to do too much to get it.
Well, you know, take the good, take the bad. Facts of life.
But think about it. When somebody come out with something positive, it don't never start a wave of a whole bunch of positive songs. Pharrell did Happy. That joint was huge. And there wasn't no another Happy song.
Now, Pharrell said $85,000 to him.
I'm just saying.
Take the good and take the bad.
We need progression for the positive. That's it. That's my final statement.
I like that.
Your Honor.
Yeah. Right. What's next then? What's the next positive one?
The next positive trend?
Yeah.
There are no positive trends. It's 2025 and everything's going to hell.
Oh, God.
2026, I'm sorry.
We right here. God knows.
Shout out Dick Lee in the building. Yo, it's been the Capital City Podcast. I'm your host, Capital J, alongside my main man,
DL Glass.
And we out of here.